This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tēnā koe. Free FM 89.0, independent community media. Welcome to Free FM here on Kirikirioroa at the top of Collingwood Street. How's your day going on a Sunday? Coming up, we'll talk politics, bit of climate change and much, much more between now and afternoon tea time at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Well, the headlines, sorry, before we go on, the comment is mine. It's column comment on Free FM 89.0. Flood of cash pours into Harris campaign. Democrats quick to back Harris. And there's much, much more. But I also learnt a new word, actually. Diversity, equity, inclusion. The GOP have found a way to get around using the N-word on Fox News and other right-wing media. The Republicans using it to attack Vice President and nominal candidate Kamala Harris. Tennessee Republican Rep. Tim Burchett alleged Joe Biden chose Harris because she was, I quote, a black woman, claiming she is 100% DEI hire. If that's not racism, I don't know what is. Defenders supporting Harris find these words extremely offensive, meaning people from marginalised groups who attain success are marginalised, like Harris, by the GOP. There, of course, the GOP and MAGA follows, and they're all against Harris. Even Elon Musk is not a fan of DEI. Basically, it comes down because the Republicans being racist. They can't use the N-word, they resort to race baiting. On July 2, 1964, President Lyndon Johnson signed into law it was illegal to discriminate on the grounds of colour, religion, sex, or national origin. Like a Barack Obama, Harris has been singled out for her race. And where's she come from? Well, she was born in Oakland, California, October 20, 1964. Her father being of Jamaican origin. There's much, much more. If we are speaking to our man in America before 2 o'clock this afternoon, we'll get into that. July 28, 2024. July 28, 2024. 1893, the cause of women's suffrage, a 25,000 petition presented to the New Zealand Parliament, a move to give New Zealand women the right to vote. 1540, Henry VIII marries his fifth wife, Catherine Howard. 1. British comedian, actor and singer Bernard Cribbins dies this day, 2022.
Each end and steady as we go. Tried to shift it, couldn't even lift it. We was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right said Fred, give a shout for Charlie. Up comes Charlie from the floor below. After straining, even and complaining, we was getting nowhere, and so we...
1794, French lawyer and revolutionary, Robespierre, overthrown and executed.
But he did not.
American history, 1929, former American First Lady, journalist Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis was born. The wife of JFK and Aristotle Onassis died in 1994. Sport, 1984, the Los Angeles Olympics open. The debut of England all-round cricket, Sir Ian Botham, this day in 1977. And number three, New Zealand, July 28, 1977. 46 years ago today, Mark Williams, the old Buddy Holly hits.
There you go, and baby, here am I. Well, you left me here so I could sit and cry. Well, golly gee, what have you done to me? Well, I guess it doesn't matter. We'll be right back.
Cosmopolitan News and Juice, Free FM 89.0 on a Sunday. Good afternoon, New Zealand and the world. That is Mark Williams. And that was on the charts this day in 1977, the Buddy Holly song of It Doesn't Matter Anymore. Well, let's come back to Hamilton. Here's a blast from the past, and I had the pleasure of meeting this guy many years, well, not so long ago. Hildred Carlisle, an Englishman, brought to the Farmers of the Waikato farming news and comment from 5 a.m. weekdays on 1XH and 1ZH. He was, of course, part of a team with Fred Barnes and Colin Follis, part of a team of rural broadcasters headed by Barnes of Country Calendar fame. Carlisle used to turn up on Country Calendar. He had a wicked sense of humour, and I met him at field days one day. Carlisle also appeared, as I said, on Country Calendar. He died aged 82 in 2017, still in Hamilton. The Little River Band, Seddon Park, Hamilton, February 17, 1983, part of their New Zealand tour, which took in venues from the Sound Shell in Tauranga to the Christchurch Town Hall. By February 3, 2004, Reminiscing had received 5 million, yes, 5 million plays on American radio. The song was recorded by Katie Lang and on the soundtrack of a movie. The other guys, Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell in 2010, that was the name of the movie. So were you at Seddon Park when the Little River Band, LRB, in concert? This is Reminiscing, 5 million plays. That's a lot of plays for a popular song. As we go back, it's 8 to 1.
That is true.
FM 89.0, independent community media, Cosmopolitan News and Views. That is reminiscing, that is LRB, Little River Band, remembering their concert in, of course, the Seddon Park. Yeah, over the years there were a few concerts at Seddon Park, outdoors on the cricket ovals. So I wonder if you were there. Were you there? Okay, talk about radio. Voice from the past too. He was in Hamilton on radio for a while. His name is Bob Leahy, who later became a newsreader on News Talk ZB. He was with 1XH or 1ZH, and also he was in Tauranga for a while. Here is Bob Leahy. He's up a mast, up for Hauraki. Remember this?
You're listening to Radio Hauraki, top of the dial, and we're broadcasting a test transmission on 1480. No doubt you know that we've been in the Great Barrier at Port Tryphena. We've done some modifications to the transmitter, and we've also erected our full antenna, so we're expecting to be putting out quite a good signal tonight. So we'd like to know how well you are receiving us, so drop us a line, Radio Hauraki, Post Office Box 2964 in Auckland, and let us know just how you're picking up Radio Hauraki.
There we are, the one and only Bob Leahy. I think he's still alive today. His daughter was part of the news team on TV3 for a long, long time. 3 minutes to one. Well, in 2022, a favourite British comedian, actor and singer died. Bernard Cribbins. He, as an actor, he was still working in his late 80s, early 90s, and he even made an appearance as one of the companions in Doctor Who. He was also in the British UK Top 20 with a couple of songs, one of which was Right Said Fred, remembering Bernard Cribbins.
Right Said Fred, both of us together, one each end and steady as we go. Tried to shift it, couldn't even lift it. We was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right said Fred, give a shout to Charlie. Up comes Charlie from the floor below. After straining, heaving and complaining, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And Charlie had a think, and he thought we ought to take off all the handles and the things what held the candles. But it did no good, well I never thought it would. All right, said Fred, have to take the feet off to get them feet off, wouldn't take a mo. Took its feet off, even took the seat off, should have got us somewhere, but no. So Fred said, let's have another cup of tea, and we said, righto. All right, said Fred, have to take the door off, need more space to shift the so-and-so. Had bad twinges, taking off the inches, and it got us nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right, said Fred, have to take the wall down, that there wall is gonna have to go. Took the wall down, even with it all down, we was getting nowhere. And so we had a cup of tea, and Charlie had a think, and he said, look, Fred, I've got a sort of feeling. If we remove the ceiling with a rope or two, we could drop the bladder through. All right, said Fred, climbing up a ladder with his crowbar, gave a mighty blow. Was he in trouble? Half a ton of rubble landed on the top of his dome. So Charlie and me had another cup of tea, and then we went home. I said to Charlie, we'll just have to leave it standing on the landing, that's all. You see, the trouble with Fred is he's too hasty. Now you never get nowhere if you're too hasty.
FM 89.0, the one and only Bernard Cribbins, Right Said Fred. Talking about reminiscing on the radio, the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band recorded a few ads for Radio Hauraki. And we, of course, we do remember our very own Paul Trimworth from Backdoor Bluegrass here at Free FM. It's 1 o'clock. Remember this?
And lend an ear, cause we're gonna tell you why we gathered here. Sit right down and pull up a chair. will sing you a Canterbury tale. Hooray for Penny, hip-hi-penny, hip-hi-penny-hose. Hip-hi-penny-hose are the thing for mothers and daughters who really swing. There's no suspender like no suspender, hip-hi-penny-hose. If you're 11 or 30, you're gonna look so mighty pretty with your long-legged look and your itty-bitty skirt and your hip-high pantyhose.
Hey, son, is it true that the gal's legs are getting longer and more shapely? Or do they just look that way in their hip-high pantyhose?
I couldn't say, Paul. I don't waste time looking at the girls who haven't caught on to the hip-high look. Because the girls who have, they look so cold.
They're long-legged and shapely.
You been looking too, Paul?
Hooray for Pandy, hip-high-panty-hose. Hip-high-panty-hose, really hip. No suspender to ever nip. And there's no suspender like no suspender, hip-high-panty-hose.
Music you choose.
Thank you very much, yes. Well, I choose the music. Bring back memories. 1970 is the year. In Australia, there's a guy, he's a Republican, he's released many, many albums. He wants Australia to be a republic, get rid of the monarchy, etc., etc. His name, John Williamson. He came to fame in 1970. Oh, you haven't heard this one for a while. It's 2 past 1.
Let me tell you of an interview with an old man he knew. He's got a beak and feathers and things, but the poor old fella ain't got no wings. Aren't you jealous of the wedge-tailed eagle? And ba-da-da-da-da-da. While the eagle's flying round and round to keep it 2 feet firmly on the ground. Now I can't fly, but I'm telling you, I can run the pants of a kangaroo. But I do. For the 50 cents, da-da-da-da. The designer should have had more sense. Da-da-da-da. If you take a look, it'll prove to you I ran the pants of that kangaroo. But I do. Take a look, it'll prove to you he ran the pants of the kangaroo. Like a cockatoo, da-da-da-da. Swoop and toss like an albatross, da-da-da-da. You silly gala, I'm better by far than a white cockatoo or a budgerigar. They squeak and squawk and try to talk. Why, me and them's like cheese and chalk. But I do. You can't fly, but I'm telling you, we can run the pants of a kangaroo. The last time I saw old man, he knew him, da-da-da-da. He was chasing a female, he knew him, da-da-da-da. As he shot past, I heard him say, she can't fly, but I'm telling you, she can run the pants of a kangaroo. But I do. She can't fly, but I'm telling you, she can run the pants of a kangaroo. Well, there is a moral to this ditty, da-da-da-da. Thrush can sing, but he ain't pretty, da-da-da-da. Duck can swim, but he can't sing, nor can the eagle on the wing. Emu can't fly, but I'm telling you, he can run the pants of a kangaroo. Well, the kookaburra laughed, and he said it's true, da-da-da-da-da.
Thank you.
Nelson Riddle Orchestra at 3FM, the Dick Van Dyke Show. And, of course, John Williamson, Old Man Emu. Mel Driscoll's about to join me here in the studio. We'll talk to him very, very shortly. But, of course, the Olympic Games have opened in France. The flag's upside down. The Olympic flag was upside down. Did you see it in the paper this morning? Wow, they've got so many problems at the French Olympics, haven't they? We've been spied upon by the Canadian coach. Oh, she got sent packing. Oh, wonder how this is going to go in the next week. It's 8 past. Talking about games, remember 1974? Commonwealth Games, Steve Allen joined together. Yes, that Olympic flag was upside down.
This time it's in Christchurch, and getting it on together, they spark with a feeling that should surround the earth. And we've got to join together.
FM 89.0. Yes, joined together, Steve Allen. Good afternoon, Mr. Driscoll.
Good afternoon. Remember, we have at Te Awamutu Concerts Alive Student Showcase today. Vocal, instrumental, and ensemble performances, 2 o'clock, less than an hour from now, at St. John's Anglican Church, Arawata Street in Te Awamutu. Tickets are $25 cash at the door, students free. The soloists, Isabella Reed, Edward Smith, Sophia Young, Grace Burt, are accompanied by well-known pianist Francis Cohen. Our arts connoisseur, Russell Armitage, reckons theirs will be a wonderful afternoon of music. He says, we hope you'll be able to join us.
What are they going to play, Mel? Does Russell say anything about what they're going to be playing?
Don't have the detail. We have a lad who would have been found in New Delhi doing delectable meals, washing dishes, studied cuisine, cooking, when called upon, since the age of 13. We're inviting Kishan Raikwa to talk about his homeland.
Hello, Keyshawn.
Yes, how are you?
I'm very well. Hey, chef, cook, what do you call yourself?
Our family man.
Oh, do you love cooking?
Yes, yes.
And you've got a restaurant that's known to many people over Thames Way, but how has it been with the Coromandel and its problems? Problems of slips, bridges, anything that could be damaged by acts of God seems to have been happening. Did you get any sense of despair during the winter, during the COVID time?
Yes, there was a pretty hard time during the COVID because we can't run the business. But again, that's life. We have to move on. Look like back to all normal now. Yes.
Was the way to owning gastronomics restaurant in Thames an easy one?
These days, nothing easy. If you want something, you have to work hard, get up every day, go to work. So that is more like a dream to having our own place. Took a while, do lots of study, and finally we got that stage.
There was a time when you were driving daily between two jobs. Tell us about that.
Yes. So when I had my first one, so I tried to spread my wings for another location, and I ran both places 4 years. But because as a human, I would be there one at a time, and it was hard to run both sides. So I give up one side, so I just concentrate only one side now.
I notice in Hamilton that when many of the cafes and restaurants close, Indian restaurants in Hamilton, they remain open till late at night. You work long hours. So what's a normal day? When do you start in the morning?
My daily routine is 8 o'clock at work. Check my email, respond back to them. That could be related with the suppliers, related with the bookings, pay the bills, and then keep probably 3 hours for my prep, and service will start from 5 p.m. onwards. So we're just doing dinner these days because lunch is pretty quiet, and we have roughly 43 food business in Thames. So it's not worth it to open for lunch unless we have big group booking.
Is gastronomics restaurant in Thames open 7 days? A week?
Oh, no, 6 days, Monday to Saturday. And I'm trying to keep 1 day for myself, like today. We're here with my son in Hamilton Garden Center. Garden Center. Yeah, it's a beautiful place here.
And you still
have a ticket tour.
And you're still handling the fairs that relate to the coming week in the restaurant, even though it be a Sunday like today.
Yes, I do get often a phone call. I had probably half a dozen phone calls came through restaurant. So,
including ours, because we're interested to know. You are connected with the Thames Business Association and on the Thames Community Board.
Yes.
So you really have your finger on the pulse, Keyshawn.
Yes. And also, I completed 15 years as a culinary judge. I used to work for as a volunteer culinary judge for Restaurant Association when they used to run culinary fair. Now they're taken over by New Zealand Chef Association. So I've been doing some work with them as well.
Do you cater for outside functions, like someone comes to you and say, I want some food for this function at this venue? Do you do outside catering?
I used to do out catering, but stopped due to new food safety laws, which is cold has to be cold, stay cold, and hot food has to be stay hot. And when you do out catering, it's very hard, and we don't want to make sick anyone. Put our reputation in the bad side.
You have something to show, a lot to show, with pride for all the hard work that you and your family have done. there was a time when you took out a bank loan. It's always a worry, isn't it?
Yes, but I think we had a good experience and we paid off in 3 months' time. So the bank was got happy and they lent me some more money for our house and building. So it's pretty good. BNZ, pretty helpful.
Was everyone in the family pitching in and helping out?
No, no. I had to work myself and my wife. We both worked together.
So your children have taken a different direction in life, have they?
Yes, my son is a qualified doctor. He's working for Waikato Hospital. He want to be a heart surgeon in the long run time. And my daughter, she's doing acting course in Sydney, Australia.
How different. Brother and sister. One a doctor and the other one an actress.
Of course, your son being a doctor, he probably takes a look at some of your food and says, Dad, that's not good for the heart. Have you ever had that conversation?
Yeah, it's true. Both kids can cook themselves. They know what the taste they're looking for. So as a parent, our job is almost complete. So they they can stand on their own feet. You know, they can go anywhere they want.
It's a very full family life that you lead there. Your wife involved in a caring role also. Her work?
Yes, yes. I think as a parent, we have to give them good support until they set themselves. And they're good to be have. They have some kind of income, you know, so they will...
So she, your wife, is a health worker by day and a sous chef by night.
Yes, yes.
And another thing, and I've seen many a thing with this too, that what happens when you get a dissatisfied customer sitting at the table saying, oh, this food's cold, take it back. You've got to be a diplomat too when it comes to unhappy customers.
Yes, it's true. Customer service is pretty sensitive subject. We have to take easy way. My staff is trained really well, so we apologize. We offer something, a different meal, or maybe no charge for the meal. So that way we'll keep it in a good kind of relationship.
But worse can happen. Kishan, there was a time when you kept an elephant. Tim's wouldn't have many of those. Ellie the elephant.
Yes.
What happened to Ellie?
So the three boys, Tairua, it's probably 25-minute drive from the Thames. The boys came from Tairua, and they just went to random place and destroyed things, including my Ellie. So far, we had three hearings. No results came up yet, and I can't see they're going to be any result coming soon. And that's like...
So Ellie the elephant stood proudly on a pedestal outside the restaurant. Was that it? Until late one night on a Saturday.
So I put that one outside to improve the street. Some kind of... When you in the street, you have to look at something. And that's why I just put something to vitalize the street. And they've been destroyed by replaced with a big scrap metal horse. It came from South Africa probably 15 years ago. And that horse is made out of car parts and looked pretty rustic, just like a steampunk thing. And they're very well matched with our golden era time and steampunk theme. So people are enjoying it. And hard to destroy that one.
A landmark, a curiosity, something that put you on the map and indirectly Thames too. Beyond repair, you found. How much to replace Ellie the elephant?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. They cost me $5,000 when I brought Balaguer. And replacing our singular replace with the metal one, which is $20,000. And insurance pay only like, so... I ordered one elephant probably similar to what I lost in the past. They're coming from Bali in probably 3 weeks' time. and that costs $5,000. So insurance pay only $4,000. I have to pay $1,000 excess.
It's a lot of meals to serve in order to cream the profit that goes to replace what already had been respected by the citizens, and they saw you too as someone involved in the town itself, not exclusively for your own benefit, but for the whole community's, Ellie the Elephant.
Yeah.
And those gentlemen, we won't call them that, will we? Those young people, they faced a total of 30 charges in Thames District Court. Thank you, Kishan Rakwa.
It's a pleasure. Hey, enjoy your Sunday off, and don't work too hard.
Also, we're in the Hamilton Garden. If you have a chance, you have to come in and have a look. There's a few different themed garden around here.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's
that's where you are now. There's one in relating to your homeland of India.
Yeah. And of course, they're putting a charge, $20 at the gate to get into the Hamilton Gardens, but the story's a bit confusing. Who pays and who doesn't? So,
It's free today. We didn't pay anything.
Well, there we are. That's how we get ahead in life, it seems. We watch for the opportunities. You've certainly proved that, Kishan.
It's a pleasure.
May you have a great business and all the other fellow restaurateurs this coming summer. We can talk about summer because it's getting longer every day now.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, mate. I'll let you get back to what you're doing at the Hamilton Gardens.
Thank goodness you get some time off, Kishan. You've
it's a pleasure.
Worked for Thank years.
You. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, pleasure. Hey, they're such brilliant people, the Indian community here in Hamilton, as well as the Pakistan community, the Sikhs and the Hindus. What a brilliant community. Well, I found a song about an elephant. Let's play this.
To Bombay, a travelling circus came. They brought an intelligent elephant and Nelly was her name. One dark night, she slipped her iron chain and off she ran to Hindustan and was never seen again. And said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump. Nelly the elephant packed her trunk and trundled back to the jungle. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump. The head of the herd was calling far, far away. They met one night in their silver light on the road to Mandalay. So Nelly the elephant packed her trunk and said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump. A big parade, she looked so proud and grand. No more tricks for Nelly to perform. They taught her how to take a bow when she took the crowd by storm. Nelly the elephant packed her trunk and said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump. Nelly the elephant packed her trunk and trundled back to the jungle. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump. The head of the herd was calling far, far away. They met one night in the silver light on the road to Mandalay. So Nelly the elephant packed her trunk and said goodbye to the circus. Off she went with a trumpety trump, 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 trump.
Just coincidence. Remember, Trump, Trump, Trump. Oh, we're going to talk about him and others very, very shortly. We've got a guest coming up shortly, our American correspondent, Mel.
Here's an oddity of history repeating itself. Many New Zealanders are victims of crime. We just heard from Kishan Rakwa. The business lost thousands of dollars because of the wanton vandalism by young people in ruining their Coromandel Peninsula precinct in Thames. Well, there are people who, as victims of crime, feel very insecure. Think of the family who were burgled three times in 2 days in a private residence. A family from India, migrants, demonstrating that all that they heard that was good about New Zealand had to be balanced against the negative. They perceive criminals commit offences with impunity, as it happened in the aftermath of the land wars. People again call for consequences of crime, prosecution, punishment. It's as if offenders helping themselves to what is not theirs get away with it, even if they're caught. Now, this insight comes from a book. The author, Richard S. Hill. Police, Provinces, War and Gold, 1850s to 1870s. And it's based on what is quoted from Te Ara, the Encyclopedia of New Zealand, in this that I'm saying. Stationed for longer at the same barracks, referring back to the land wars period in New Zealand, Aotearoa, police became less likely to display or use firearms. Why was that? The book answers that question. This was in line with policing theory for settler colonies. Colonial forces were expected to move gradually away from reacting to offences and towards preventing them. Preventive policing using minimum force was expected to come about by regular patrolling on routes known as beats in urban areas and by winning confidence and consent of the population. Ideally, constables will eventually need control over a small minority of criminal offenders. The heat of criminal events gradually subdued as people felt more confident and better governed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a cycle that you've identified, Gary Schofield, here or anywhere that you've lived, that there are these changes in policing as to the philosophy? Hit them hard.
Yes.
Boot camp.
Very, very, very good point. Well represented by history, where we can learn so many things. And I would just add my own perspective. I was actually part of an action group here in Hamilton a few years ago, where we were petitioning the police for more community policing. And I think that's what you've described so eloquently, in the way in which police become part of the community. They're seen on the beat. You can confide in officers. They have a stake in the community, and they care, and they know the people, they know the history. You can have something like a soft power, so they don't have to be so enforcing. They have discretion more. So we did recommend this, and I noticed that just recently, in the last time, I think it was only within weeks, that we've had this kind of policing in Auckland with some success, so they say.
Yep.
We've heard that feedback. And also, I would use this opportunity just to mention, because we were talking about that you've got writers, you know, people write in, they have different views and opinions, and we welcome this, because different views and opinions is how you end up reshaping your own. If your opinions are challenged, you learn something from that, you are secure in your opinion, but you're not owned by your opinion. You hold an opinion, but an opinion holds you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to work as a journalist for Connie Lawn. And Connie Lawn will be known to many of your elder viewers as the voice of America. She was the oldest, longest-serving White House reporter since Nixon. And in the course, you know, you and, Mel and Bruce, of course, they like to have their views, if there's perspective. And, of course, I feel obliged by the rules of journalism to present the other side of the story. Yep. So I'm not really presenting my opinions as such, or at least I'm not trying to do that. So if people do feel that they would like to voice theirs, all the better for that conversation.
Yes.
I'd just like to add that, where, you know, it's great to be able to have the old-fashioned way of doing things where you get both sides presented just in the dispassionate way.
And no better time than in a nation which has a government with the two dominating parties, Republicans and Democrats, in order to reflect those different shades of policing, to take the example we began with. In many ways, the main American political parties demonstrate a great divide.
They do, and isn't it fascinating how things that you would not expect to be political have become political? So, Bruce, who is the Vice President of the United States?
Kamala Harris at the moment, but she's online to become the U.S. President by November. And this brings about the words diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is a roundabout way to try and say on air the N-word on Fox News. Some of those hosts, they were struggling not to say the N-word on some of their programs this week, and they draw in all these GOP members and they can't say the N-word on television, which shows how basically a lot of the GOP members are pure racists.
However, I hate to bring it to your attention, but you have, according to the some Democratic political pundits, you have disrespected Kamala.
Oh, how have I done that?
Because of the way that you pronounce her name.
It should be.
So they are saying that that's disrespectful, and you'd notice that Trump also had something to say on that score, so it's become a political issue. So I thought I would bring that up.
How do you...
This isn't really inclusionary when you think about it, and I have been in many different countries, and I don't mind that people pronounce my name differently. So when I was in Scotland, it was Gareth. And, you know, Gary is my name, but that's fine. When I was in the south of, you know, the United States, in the southern states, it was Gary, you know, which is, you know, pretty far removed from Gary. But that's how, you know, I don't mind that. And I think that those in the Democratic Party have missed a wonderful opportunity to use the Shakespearean idea, quote, you know, a rose by any other name is still a rose. And, you know, look out how else we use. You know, if you listen to radio, they are forever telling you there's a correct pronunciation of words, but it's picking and choosing. We don't say Pali, we say Paris. We don't say München, we say Munich. We don't say Moskva, we say Moscow. You know, all these words have now become political in how you pronounce them.
Yeah.
Well,
while we're
talking about words and what they denote, could we look at a word, albedo?
Yes, we could. And
spelt?
A-L-B-E-D-O, very important to bring up, because in a recent scientific study by Dr. Bruce of the University College of London, it was discovered that by painting the roofs white in London, that would be the best, most efficient way of cooling the cities, any major city, white. So because of albedo, because of the reflective quality that white gives us, and it might be of interest to know that in 2009, my organization, this is some 16 years ago, came to and presented the exact same science that has just been revelation all that time ago. And you can look this up if you wanted to look at meltingworld.org or a globalconcern.org, which is my organization. I'm the president of that. So we as a civilization are very slow moving, even to do the simplest things, by having white, lighter roofs would mean that we get more reflection of the sun's heat and energy yep. into space.
Well, here's another name I've got to get right, and I've been practicing on this because one of the outsiders to be, is it Kamala? Is it Kamala?
Yes, I'm sorry to force this on you, but this is also she could be president.
Yeah,
she's being presidential. That yep. is a very good. You talked about your Trump song just before we went on. To Trump, have Kamala
yep.
be presidential, because that is the best way. You know, have her solve the Gaza.
Yeah,
is have yep. her be the peacemaker. Have yep. her do dramatic things. This is the way to beat Trump. Quite simply,
yep.
make her presidential. If not, make her the president.
Yep. The thing is that one of the outsiders to be her VP, vice president,
yes.
is, and I've got to get this right, Peter. He's the transport secretary. How do you pronounce his? You know the guy I mean.
Oh, Buttigieg.
Yes, that's him. The yes, GOP have been getting him because
something like that, yes.
because he's gay. He has no children. Well, he has got children. They were adopted. With his husband,
yes.
They've also said that Harris has no children, but she's got stepchildren.
Buttigieg.
That's it.
Yes.
So he is the outsider to become her vice president, and this has really stirred up the GOP.
Yes, but you know, you never know what happens until it happens, and as we've said before, a week is a long time in politics. If you cast your mind back to only a week ago when we were talking, look at what has happened since. You know, you now have a completely different race. You have Kamala, and you have the possibilities associated with that for the Democrat Party, which are quite huge. And so by the time we get to, and also you've got J.D. Vance, who is Trump's vice president. He brings another set of policies and political discussions into the mix.
Yep.
You know, and he actually also talks about childless people, that, you know, he wants people with children to have more say in politics. Is that such a far-fetched idea? You know, I can speak for myself. When I became a father, that changed my life, and that alters my politics when you do that. So that would be an interesting input, because it ensures that you are looking to the future when you have children, and
yep.
you should govern in such a way.
Well, look at the fine son you've got, Stuart, and we've known each other for a while now. What a brilliant American, New Zealand, or a New Zealand American, whatever. How is our friend Stuart?
Well, you'll be pleased to know that just today, internationally, he launched his simulation of beekeeping. It's called the Swarm. So he's always been interested in strategy, and he's put together a wonderful simulation, because his grandfather, my father, is a beekeeper and grew up with bees. And it's a game whereby you play it like a war game, if you like, depends on how you play it, but you manage a beehive. And he's sent that out into the world. Gaming, as you realize, is bigger than all the music made and all the movies made.
Yep.
It is such an enormous part of our economy,
yep.
and that is his contribution to that.
You said a week is long in politics. That quote came from former British Prime Minister, the late Lord Wilson.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I didn't know where that came from.
Harold Wilson said that.
Yes.
Oh, so there's a vehicle going past our studio. Sorry, that's the noise there. Sorry about that.
That's all right. So, yes, and so we will see how these fit together in the following week. And, you know, we are getting closer to events. And don't forget, the biggest event of all, and we don't know what it is yet, is the October surprise.
Well,
something usually happens in October of a political nature. So we'll see what it is this year.
Gary Schofield, thanks for your insight into more than one nation, which you know so well.
I hope Stuart's listening to the podcast of these interviews with you.
He does.
It's and his partner. Is she interested in what we've been saying?
Always, as does my father, who is also currently listening, and I had the pleasure of spending yesterday with him.
Yep, happy day.
We spent the night dancing.
Hey, oh, good on you. Hey, you're a man of many talents, artist, politician. Talking about the police again, we'll end with the police. I was in town on Friday night having a hamburger outside a place I'd go every Friday when these people are hanging around, and out of the fog came some police officers. They talked to this man. They first detained him when this man started to remonstrate, and then they found out he'd been stealing around the town. So they put the handcuffs on him and carted him off to the pokey. That's what you call proactive policing.
Yes. And part of the community benefits from that, from the interaction, good and abrupt, but also, sadly, I had my car stolen just on my birthday. So that was a little bit of a sad thing. I found that every hour, on the hour, 24 hours a day in Hamilton, a car is stolen. So it is something that we have to address before it becomes more organized crime.
Well, that's quite interesting because Dwayne is going to mention some stolen cars shortly. He'll be listening to this. I'm sorry you're a victim of this. Did you get your car back?
Unfortunately, it was not drivable, sadly, and not insured either. So it's, never mind, this is one of these terrible things that is happening to many New Zealanders, and as Mel so eloquently explained, the dreadful nature of people being burgled multiple times is terrifies them. Well, and of course, it can break down our society, it can destroy our tourism, it can destroy our wonderful name. It should be a priority.
Well, we'll see what happens next week in politics. As Harold Wilson said, a week is long in politics.
Great to talk.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Gary. And hello to Stuart in the USA and also to his grandfather and Stuart's partner. Enjoy your day. I don't know what time it is in America at the moment because I've got two time zones. We'll be talking to Dwayne shortly. He was listening into that interview with Gary about stolen cars.
Now here's a little story to tell it. Here's a must about an unsung hero that moves away a dust. Some people make a fortune, others earn a mint. My old man don't earn much. In fact, he's flipping skint. My old man's a dustman, he wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. He looks a proper nana in his great big cocktail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up that he calls them Daisy Roots. Some folks give tips at Christmas and some of them forget. So when he picks their bins up, he spills some on the step. Now one old man got nasty and to the council wrote. Next time my old man went round there, he punched him up the throat. Oh, my old man's a dustman, he wears a dustman's hat. He wears got blimey trousers and he lives in a council flat. I say, Les.
Yeah?
I found a police dog in my dustbin.
Well, how do you know he's a police dog?
He had a policeman with him. Though my old man's a dustman, he's got an heart of gold. He got married recently, though he's 86 years old. We said, here, hang on, Dad, you're getting past your prime. He said, well, when you get my age, it helps to pass the time. My old
The late, great Lonnie Dilling in Glasgow, Scotland, my old man's a dustman, and talking about... Yeah, finding a police dog with the police officer in the rubbish tin there. It's 14 minutes to 2, Mel.
Bridging the divide between peoples of different nations, but uniting them in the same organisation, sometimes brings a lot of illumination to how people are living in different parts of the world. You had visitors, John Osborne, from abroad.
That's right. I'm secretary of the Independent Order of Oddfellows Lodge in Hamilton, the Phoenix New Zealand Lodge number 1. and we're the only American, well, we're the only IWF lodge in New Zealand that's chartered under the Grand Lodge of Australasia. So it's a great thing to be set up and established. And recently we had a really great privilege of welcoming a couple of members of the order from Germany. But in particular, Brother Ernest was a past Grand Sire of Germany. That's the highest position that you can get to in the Independent Order of Oddfellows. And then then his good lady, Sister Birgit, she was a past noble grand of the Elizabeth Rebecca Lodge in Berlin.
Well, listening to this, Mr. Osborne, as your officer and club secretary and dishwasher, Dwayne Porter's
he's
with us.
He's not the secretary yet. He's just the he's now the chaplain. He's sort of.
Do I have to call him the reverend?
No, not really. But that's just one of the lodge officers.
Your Oddfellows guests were accompanied or accompanying some others from Germany.
Yeah, that's right. They what happened was is they come down here as part of they organised exchange program of students. They brought 74 teenagers down here, which, you know, is an amazing sort of, when you think about the distance and that, it's quite phenomenal. But as such, they sort of come down here, but they were wondering if there was an Oddfellows Lodge down here. Now, in terms of our branch of the Oddfellows family, there were no lodges up until a couple of years ago, but we chartered one. We started one up out of scratch here in Hamilton. And so that enabled Brother Ernest and Sister Birgit to pay us a visit and visit a New Zealand Oddfellows Lodge.
So there's a lot of protocol involved.
Well, there is, yes. It's sort of, it's a fraternal organisation with old-fashioned traditions and values. It was quite mind-blowing for, because I'm one of the founders, I'm also the secretary, you think about it, yeah, sitting there and you're thinking, well, there's sort of one of the top Oddfellows visiting us with it was sort of a great honour for us for a new organisation, new sort of thing to have. As I said, he's a past Grand Sire of Germany, so that's a different jurisdiction from what we come under. But, we still recognise his position and also his good lady's position, which is a past noble grand of Elizabeth Lodge in Berlin. The Oddfellows in Germany have sort of been building themselves up since the end of the Second World War. But, of course, like Freemasonry, Oddfellowship in Germany was suppressed under the Nazi regime. The National Socialists didn't like anyone else, did they? Apart from their own madness.
And I've seen those stories, John. It's a sad moment. But are your guests coming back from Germany anytime soon?
Well, we hope we'll see them again at some stage, but we also will hope to have visitors from other parts of the world, because the IWF is, a big fraternal order. It's all over the world. And we're sort of thinking we'll probably get guests from the Philippines and the USA, at some point in time. And we look forward to that opportunity. And that's part of being a fraternity, is that you're part of a huge movement that transcends, barriers of ethnicity and religion. This is a worldwide movement.
Yep. Hey, we're running out of time, John, because we've got a couple more people to talk to. But, John, it's great to catch up with you. Give my best to your mother. We've got to talk to her one of these days.
That's it. I'm not too sure where that came from, though, but if you're referring to the lodge, it's your sister Vice Grand.
Oh, anyway, yes. Yes, Dwayne's laughing his head off in the studio here at the moment, so we'll catch up with you another day, mate.
Yes, all right. We'll speak to you again shortly.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
John Osborne, contributor to Free FM 89.0, and here's his dishwasher. Good afternoon, Dwayne Porter.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Okay. excuse me.
What's been happening in the field of policing crime, Dwayne? You always have kept a close awareness of trends and what's happening.
Yes, I have. I did a research. I've been studying doing a research, very, very expensive. Taking my time and everything. So what I've done is I've broke it down, and at the moment, the worst ones are is like Auckland, Hamilton, Christchurch, down to Oamaru towards Invercargill.
It involves many, many incidents.
Yep, it's like stolen cars, burnt out cars, damaged and stolen farm machinery.
Do you know how to stop it?
Well, apparently, you know, like, as I said, you know, it's a thing that you can easily break into alarm cars, you can easily break into sorts of cars that that people do drive.
Anyway, we'll have to have a further talk one of these days, but we are running out of time. Richard is here to do a Harmony Waikato. So next we'll talk to the one and only Trevor before we go at 2 o'clock.
This is the BBC. After the news, there'll be a talk on early Christian plastic knees and the first broadcast of a piece of knotted string. If you would like a piece of knotted string, send 3 rust-proof shillings to Honest Walgreen State of Weybridge, Tower.
Hello, folks of world! Hello, folks of world!
Oh, didn't want to work. Here's the children's marching song with Cyril Stapleton and his orchestra. Trevor is next. I remember singing that at song at school too. Probably Trevor does too. You remember singing that song at school?
Among many others, that one I do actually recall in the back of my memory bank.
Anyway, Trevor, what's been happening in your world this week?
I was driving on Tristram Street on Friday, as I normally do, and I reached the area past London Street, heading north, and what was once the Founders Theatre, magnificently standing there for the world to see, was a vacant space. Yep. And I thought to myself, well, there's the rumours they're going to turn that into a park. How many parks do you need in a small in an area such as that? There's a park on one side of it, and there's a park on the other side. We don't need another park. And I thought to myself, had I been in charge of the council, that building would be standing there shining in the sunlight the way it has been up till now. And I thought, what has the council done that has impressed me before it got into a huge amount of debt? I racked my brains and I couldn't think of anything. Building a new theatre, I don't know how that's coming along, and the most awkward place for the clients, not clients, for the public to come and see the shows, where to park their car, and particularly on a Saturday night could be a bit rough at certain hours of the night. And the huge cost factor involved in that, I thought to myself, could the council have spent money more wisely over the years? Where I'd say, yes, I'm proud of what the city council has achieved, and the CEO's pay increase to what it is now, justly reserved, but in all conscience I can't.
Yeah, it's an interesting time in politics, both nationally and internationally, and both local, and it's been an interesting week in Parliament, and I'm sad for this country when you've got politicians having a go at each other. They're trying to kick one politician out. She's been sent to Siberia, the most back seat of our parliament, because she was kicked out of the Green Party. I just wish our parliamentarians would just... And this week, of course, the Prime Minister is not going to do many stand-up interviews. He's ditched one already. And is he frightened of people? He was doing a stand-up when his protection squad saw Palestinian protesters. So the squad bundled off our Prime Minister into safety. Is it that bad? What were they going to do?
I think there's a little bit of paranoia maybe creeping in from what happened with Donald Trump.
Well, that's another story. We've got to go. Thank you. And we've been talking about law and order, so I had to dig this one up. This is Charlie Penrose. Remember this one? This goes back to the 20s. This is The Laughing Policeman. See you next week.
I know a fat old policeman, he's always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman, he's never known to frown. And everybody says he is the happiest man in town. Upon point duty, he laughs upon his feet. He laughs at everybody when he's walking in the street. He never can stop.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.